having your dad.
Whoops.
Standard Y.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Davis, and Gamble.
Thank you. And we did receive word earlier that Councilmember Rasmussen would not be here this evening, so we will consider him as excused. And we'll go ahead and note for the record when Councilmember Camp comes in. And Councilmember Gamble, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is a presentation. It's a recognition of service for Officer John Richardson, also known as JR. Chief.
Okay, the only difference between JR and I is that I have been in law enforcement a few years longer than him because of that. I need to wear my glasses here. So. Tonight we are recognizing Officer John Richardson for 32 years of service in the Rural Police Department. Officer Richardson was hired August 15, 1985. He has served in many capacities in his law enforcement career and includes working as a reserve police officer as well as provisional before being hired full-time. During his time with the department, he has served in many capacities, including patrol, detectives, entry team, and specialized in collision investigation and reconstruction. As the city grew during his tenure, his focus and attention to traffic safety became a great asset. Officer Richardson also took on the task of organizing the Monroe Police Department Safe Ride Program. For many years, Officer Richardson would work New Year's Eve to help drive people home after a night of drinking versus driving under the influence. In addition to traffic safety, he became one of our agency's experts in collision investigations, was a resource to others. His aptitude for details made him an excellent traffic investigator, well as in his casework as a detective. He was never one to shy away from large or complex cases with significant amounts of evidence. On a personal note, I think those who worked with Officer Richardson for a long time would say he had a sense of humor. While some will debate whether they enjoyed being on the receiving end of his pranks, we can all agree that he may have lightened the mood on days when this job can be difficult. For that, too, he will also be missed. Officer Richardson has served as a vital member of the Monroe Police Department. We'll be greatly missed. We wish him the best in his new position at Providence Security.
Oh. I would like to present you with a
chief's coin. Congratulations on your retirement. Mayor Thomas.
Thank you. Council, please join me.
Officer Richardson, on behalf of the grateful community, thank you very much for your years of dedication and service.
Maybe the attention away from service.
Scarborough Police Department. I just have fun, and I apologize to people for my... Thanks again.
Thank you.
On my behalf, and those of you who wish to have your reception for Officer Richardson over to the police training room.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. And we'll go ahead and continue with our agenda. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp is in chambers also. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a public hearing for comprehensive plan amendments, docket review, and selection. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Council Mayor. So staff is here tonight to present recommendations for the 2017-18 docketing cycle. And this is the first time in several years that we're attempting to standardize the process by tying it in with the city-initiated comprehensive plan cycle. And so you'll see we actually attached the resolution number 2012-020 that actually outlines the time frame for comp plan cycles when they're accepted and when they'll go through. This will also help us meet the GMA requirements of reviewing the comp plan once a year with a few noted exceptions in there. And so this year we did not receive any citizen-initiated comprehensive plan requests for the 17-18 cycle.
Really? Okay.
And so so we did not receive any. However, staff is recommending three items for docket, one of those being a request from Planning Commission to revisit the downtown master plan. And so what that would do is just take the existing master plan that was adopted in roughly 2008 and compare it to the existing comp plan just to make sure that the goals and policies are still consistent. And then the next one is the buildable lands report. And so the buildable lands report, we did do that under the comprehensive, when we were doing the comprehensive plan amendment. However, now that we're going through our zoning code amendment and updating our zoning maps, the comp plan has a varying range of different of housing units and various densities that are allowed in these zones. So as we're going through this, we'll do with Planning Commission, we'll be going through a concurrent buildable lands analysis to make sure that we're hitting our 2035 goals. And then the last one is the school's capital facilities plan. And so we're actually going through this in our 16-17 cycle. However, we noticed there were some errors from when the original comp plan was completed and adopted. So during this next cycle, we just want to go back through and make sure we're not missing anything and any additional cleanup and talk to the Snohomish School District about their comp plan process. We've already had a conversation with the Monroe School District. So this may, this third one here, this capital facilities, after we take a look at it, it may result in nothing. But just as a note for the docket process, this isn't an approval from council. This is essentially saying that these items propose enough merit to move forward for further review and study. And so if these items are docketed, that's when we go back down to our normal planning commission, go through our planning commission process, and then bring them back up to council for final review. And so that's one thing I want to emphasize. It's not an approval. It's just an okay or green light to move forward with it. And so just a quick recap on what's going on. Our cycle that's going through our 16-17 that's currently in Planning Commission will have a public hearing at the end of this month, and Council should see it in about October, are the Monroe School District Capital Facility Plan. And so they are recommending an increase in fees for the impact fees, and then revisions to the fire district. Fire district had the merger, and so now our comp plan references essentially the wrong fire district. So that's just a real simple cleanup. Reviewing sewer extensions outside the UGA, and then the third one. And this one will actually shoot off from our standard once a year comp plan cycle and be attached to the budget. And that's the capital facilities Blueberry-Kelsey intersection review. And so that one you won't see that in our once a year request for adoption. That will actually go with the budget and be approved.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this topic this evening? We have nobody that has signed up to speak. Is there anybody that is out there that would like to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, council members, is there a motion to close the citizen portion of the public hearing? Councilmember Gamble.
So moved.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis to close the citizen portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Council members? Councilmember Gamble.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Got one more motion for your consideration, Council. Motion C.
Any questions first?
Councilmember Gamble.
Move to approve the 2017-2018 Comprehensive Plan Amendments docket as presented.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the 2017-2018 Comprehensive Plan Amendments docket as presented from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We don't have anybody who has signed up to speak. Is there anybody that would like to speak to the City Council this evening on any matter? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council members, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. The clerk, please, will read in the ordinance that was part of the consent agenda.
One moment, I'll approved through the consent agenda vote was ordinance number 020-2017, approving the indirect change of control of WDH BlackRock LLC with conditions and establishing an effective date.
All right, thank you. We're now going to go ahead and move on to council member reports. Is there a report for the Community Transit Board Directors meeting?
No report tonight.
Okay, great. We'll go ahead and move into staff and department reports. First one that we have here is a police update. Chief Quinzer.
Go back and get the right piece of paper.
It was dramatic, though.
At least some of you were paying attention. Okay, our activity in August under our community outreach and enforcement team was four completed chemical dependency assessments. Three went to detox and two were completed. And two went into treatment. One graduated from treatment and is in a clean and sober housing at this time. Three referrals were sent for a housing program. Three missed their chemical dependency assessment appointments. One missed their detox date, and one missed their treatment date. Under our hiring update, we hired Hannah Snabley. She began the academy on September 6th. Their expected graduation date was January 18th, 2018. And we also hired Brady Pettit, and he was hired on the 21st as an entry-level officer. It is anticipated he may start the academy on August 3rd, and he will start at that time. The Evergreen Parade and Fair, the parade went well. Personnel did an excellent job in their assignments. We were especially proud of Sergeant Brian Johnson, who was the Grand Marshal of the parade. The officers spent 469.5 hours on their days off working traffic control for the 12 days of the fair. There were no mishaps and traffic complaints were minimal. Again, we as a lot of our officers, we have a lot support for officers and the activities around the fair. We did a very good job in the traffic control. Under our crime statistics, I draw your attention to vehicle thefts in the month of August. They were up slightly and up to two over the month of July. Tomorrow, we have a sergeant assessment center, which is a promotional exam for our officers. There will be seven officers that are taking the assessment exam, and it should be certified on September 26th, and shortly thereafter, we will promote one of the officers to a new sergeant position. So, that's all I have.
Any questions for Chief Windsor? Chief, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
The next item that we have on our agenda is also a department report. This is from our Public Works Department, Mr. Feilberg.
I'm so far away from
that. You'll have to come on up.
Mayor, Council, the monthly report is in the packet as usual, and just the highlights were finished up the overlays for the year. They're doing the ground Brownlands Boulevard today, and then they'll be paving that on Thursday and Friday. And then when they're all done, they'll come back in and put all the striping down on all the roads that have just the temporary striping right now. So if there's anything else that you'd like to see in the reports, please let me know, and we'd be happy to add it for you. And just one other thing is the public workshop that we've been working on. We've got the 30% plans back and send those back to the architect, and so they're working on the next stage to do that, and then we'll be in for permits, and we're hoping to have them starting construction at the end of the year. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, questions? Councilmember Scarborough.
When is the striping?
No firm date. It's just after they're done, they'll come back with the county crew and do the striping.
Okay, anything further, Council? Mr. Feilberg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up on the agenda is Mayor. I'm sorry, we're going to go around the horn for those department directors that are here this evening. Mr. Farrell?
Thank you, Mayor. Council, I'm going to come up here.
Please. Thank you.
I want to get some important information out. You may have noticed some notices regarding the park master plan studio, mm-hmm. pop-in studios, and open houses, and that's this Friday and this Saturday. So I want to let you know, okay, so it's they're Planet Studios and Evening Open Houses, and they're going to be at the Boys and Girls Club, and there's also going to be a little satellite at Lake Tai Park where the Four Square Court is over there. They'll have a little canopy tent and table, so that'll, you know, draw people or that are in the park on Friday and Saturday, you know, people at the playground, the beach. I mean, we still have some good weather this weekend, so doing that as well, and at these pop up their drop-in format, so it encourages passersby to speak with the planning team and participate in the planning process. All ideas are welcome. The conversations will add detail, nuance the project, ensuring that the recommendations really fit Monroe. And the open houses are from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Friday at the Boys and Girls Club. And so just some of the things that are going to be out at the Boys and Girls Club, and then some of them as well at Lake Tides, there'll be a what they call an intercept survey. So right now there's a survey that we have the link online on the website and all the promotional materials that we sent out as far as announcements. So that's a Survey Monkey, and so the intercept survey is like an abbreviated, a shorter version, so people can do that. It focuses on vision type questions, and then they'll also have laptops and tablets, so if people can at the site too fill out the full survey if they'd like, or you know, obviously they'll have the link that we'll give them so they can do it later if they wish. There'll be a history board. The consultants have engaged the Monroe Historical Society, and they've got a lot of history for both of the sites. So, you know, pre-Lake Tai Park, that area, and also read my name there as well. So that'll be very interesting. So there'll be history boards with historical photos, text, timeline, fun facts, that sort of thing about each site. There'll be a site analysis board that'll have aerials that with added information about like steep slopes and access, vegetation, existing improvements, etc., photos of the existing sites. And there'll be a city context board that shows the location in context of the city. So obviously lake types on the west side of the town, and then the Kevin sites along the river there in the southeast corner there. So, you know, whether people have lived here in Monroe all their life or they've recently moved here, it gives them that context of what we're talking about. And then there will be a photo book. They'll have example photos for different types of activities and spaces that could happen at each site. And then there will also be a what's your vision board. So that's kind of probably an obvious one. So if something blanks, we want to get people to post their ideas as well. So, and then I just wanted to then briefly real run through real quick is the postings and notice. I know there last one I presented about this, there were some questions. We wanted to ensure that we are able to post information notice about the open houses, the surveys, and anything kind of moving forward. So just for this first initial round here, we did get notices in the utility bills, city website, Facebook, press release. Then we had the community stakeholder list of organizations and individuals and other email lists that we sent out a couple of blasts, and we'll be sending out more later this week as well. We have it posted in our parks and city facilities, announcements about this, and also at the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, the Senior Center, the Library, the Chamber of Commerce. And then there was a local newspaper story, and I didn't get a chance yet to read it in the monitor as well. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thank you for the communication, too, because I was able to, since I received that, I was able to tell some friends about the pop-up open house forums, and so that helps. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Is the open house between 6 and 8 at Frylands as well, or just down at the Boys and Girls?
The open house are at the Boys and Girls Club. Yeah.
So right.
The
pop.
So the lake tide is just during the day from 10 to 3.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? All right. Other staff members that are here? And I'm sorry. Mr. Swanson.
The McDonald's is open, so all of that can be right for
all. Can smell cheeseburgers in there.
I read how much after that.
Okay. So go get your Happy Meal. All right. Anybody have any questions about McDonald's? All right. Did I miss anybody? Mr. Fowler, did you have anything further? Chief, anything further?
We're participating in the Walk Your Child to School.
That's right. Thank you. All right. We are now moving on to the mayor and administrative reports. Monroe, this week is in your packets. We did have the governor come and meet with us on Thursday morning last week. We had a turnout of maybe about 30 people or so. He visited the Park Place Middle School and then came out to take a look at the location of the synthetic turf fields at Lake Ty. And I took the opportunity to also talk to him about the importance of finishing 522. I know that the president of our school board did the same thing. So he talked a little bit about the capital budget status, and that was pretty much it. So I appreciate having our governor come to town to see us, and the opportunity for him to certainly interact with our residents and business owners and sports leagues here. So that was really nice. I don't think I have anything else really to report out from Monroe this week. Ms. Knight?
Just wanted to let you know that we do have a position open in our Parks Department, a Parks Maintenance Worker position. It closes on Friday, and we've already received 90 applications.
Cool.
So we expect to have
Wow.
quite a few to select from. Also, looking forward on to the upcoming agenda for September 19th, just a reminder that we will have a Transportation Benefit District Board meeting that is going to start at 6:30 p.m., so if you don't have that on your calendar, please add that. And then looking forward again to September 19th for the regular meeting. We are going to have a presentation from the Washington State Auditor's Office. It's our exit conference. So we will be seeing the auditors and hearing about how the our financial audit went. We're also going to be under new business awarding our LTAC grant. So I know some people were interested in seeing how that turned out and the awards. Looking forward then also on tentatively upcoming agendas, we will be further on September 26th also having another study session. So we'll have a number of items coming forward for discussion at that study session. So are there any questions about the upcoming agenda?
And council members, I blew past the individual council member report, so we're going to come back to that right after we're done with the administrator's report. Council member Hanford?
Thank you. No questions, but I have a conflicting appointment next Tuesday night, so the 19th I will not be here.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and mark down in the extended agenda that you will not be here on the 19th of September. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Anybody else relative to the extended agenda or the agenda for next week? Ms. Knight, do you have anything further?
I do not. Thank you.
So let's go back to individual Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since we've been together. So I just realized the Fair Days Parade, which was great. It's always it's kind of the highlight of the summer. It's like it's a highlight, but it's also, you know, it's the end of summer. But the kids both participated in it, and just seeing everybody. And I think it's the second year in a row we've had everybody, right? Which was really neat. The mayor brought up the governor visiting Park Place Middle. I did attend that, what was great is that they had actually the kids were his tour guide. So they led him through the school and showed him, you know, some of the design features, and they took a lot of pride, and you know, and that was really, really neat to see. They did a great job. I think there was representation from each grade, 6, 7, and 8. So I just thought, what a cool experience for a kid to be able to tour the governor around show off your new school. I took him to right outside Simone and Boyle's classroom. Those that have had students that have gone through Park Place Middle know those two names. They did great. All in all, was just a good trip over to the middle school. I was also at the opening day for the middle school, which was the day before, 2 days before, and that place was just packed, and getting to see all the town, out on the new track, and that was kind of the first time that people got to go run around on that, and so that was really neat. And then going back to the day of the governor, I did tag along and went over to the Lake Tye. I thought the mayor said it, but both he and the school board president did a great job on 522, really, kind of hitting him between the eyes on, didn't pull any punches on, look, we would just prefer that partisan politics would go out the board and stop getting, well, it's their fault and their fault. I mean, it was specifically said just like that, and I thought that was great. And the school board was really, keyed in on the, was it 88 times that the buses were, they were late. And I think that played well. The governor's wife was with them too, and she didn't know that fact. That didn't sit well with her, and it was just good to make the connection. And representation for sports leagues, when we got over to Lake Tye, that's always good. We had some guy from, what's it called again? Oh, lacrosse.
That's right. I thought you meant baseball.
Just kidding. Yeah. Lacrosse, Sky River, the Sky River Soccer Club was there, and then the Sky Valley Little League was there. The Legends Baseball Club was represented. Everybody was in their garb, which was cool. And then we had the president for the Monroe Youth Football. So it was good. And then the other thing that I learned is that, what I thought was great about that opportunity is we did have the mayors from Sultan and from Snohomish. That's right. Patsy was there too. And getting to hear, you get so centered in on your stuff that you're going after, and then kind of the broader stuff, you know, US-2, we're all aware of 522, but hearing some of the local projects that are being held up because we can't figure it out in Olympia for both Snohomish and in Sultan just made me even more, you know, wanting to work together to figure out a way to just get that done. So all in all, that was, it was great, great meeting there. And then obviously the cultural event that is the first football game of the season for our high school here on Friday, which was just awesome. You know, we had, wasn't Blitz, it was Boom. I don't know, is it Blitz's little kid or something like that? And that's was that the game? Yeah, there's a little. Didn't even know that. Yeah, they call him Boom. Was there along with the Sea Gals? The Blue Thunder was there. Bumpus raised the 12th man flag.
Cool.
And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a commercial that the Hawks have put out by, and it's on the school district webpage. Great advertisement for the community with. You know, the Toyota, you know, drive along, that's a national campaign. And they did a spot on Michael Bumpus and Manu Tuiasosopo, and being teachers and, you know, developing youth and how much they love Monroe. And they interviewed some of our high school students, and they represented very, very well. So just a really, 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 really cool last couple weeks. A lot of cool stuff. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
I don't think I can follow that.
Yeah.
Parade was good. Fair was good. I am really thankful. The fair only happens once a year. Great job by everybody who was involved in it. I guess those are the high points. I could spend an hour talking about everything that's happened the last couple of weeks, but I won't. So that'll be it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I'll echo what he said and let it go at that, but enjoyed the parade a lot.
Nice. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I'll do the same.
Okay.
It was all good.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Parade was good. Fair was good. Governor's visit was good. I especially like the comments that Mayor Hamilton did from Snohomish, talking about how the capital budget, when you pass that, it is an economic development driver also, and the tentacles go out and all the domino effects that happen when you invest in capital and what it can do for a community. So my hope is that that gets, whether there's a special session or not, but at least next year, next session, not before, that, you know, it gets passed so we can move on from that. And gosh, there was one more thing.
Football.
Oh, Swift Night Out. Mike, not football. You guys got that covered. Swift Night Out, how did it go?
It's going now.
Well, it's going now, but Saturday was kind of the, you know, the event.
Yeah, so for the event, the feedback we got was that there was a lot of concern about the birds because with the recent smoke we've had, they haven't been showing up, but they did show up.
Okay.
And then another thing was that I don't know if the smoke or just other activities did play a role. There was a little bit of a downturn in the actual size of the crowds, more like 60 people. Usually they're more closer to 1,000 people. So.
Yeah.
But they still have everyone a great time.
Okay, because I couldn't go that night, but it was on my calendar, but couldn't make it. And then didn't know if anyone attended the Blue Jeans in.
Yeah, I did.
How did that go?
It went very well. They generated about $188,000 to $190,000.
Yeah, I heard the amount, so I thought that was great.
No, it went really well, and Neil Watkins came back with Kathy and received an honor. I forget the name of the honor. We also had a couple staff members there. Brad was there taking pictures. I know that Debbie... did I get her name? From Parks was there. I feel like I saw a couple other people there too.
All right.
Just from staff, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, great turnout. And it was also cooler on Friday night too. The prior nights, Saturday night, you know how the Swift Night Out, usually it's kind of warm.
Yeah.
That might have affected the crowds also. It was a little cooler that evening. Anyway, Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, it sounds like I missed a whole lot of stuff for the last 2 weeks, but being on vacation. But I didn't miss the smoke in Bend, Oregon.
No.
I think it was bad here. It was terrible there.
Oh.
Sisters Bend. And then we went over to the coast, and you didn't get out of the smoke until you got to the coast.
Mm.
But I can attest to the traffic as I headed home from Yahats Monday morning about 8:30, coming through I-5 was closed because of a fire for an hour. Tacoma is always bad, but I get up to Fales Road or Paradise Lake Road and doing 5 to 10 miles an hour all the way past Fail or past
Echo Lake,
and then finally it started opening up, and the traffic was horrendous. So I'm glad that the governor got to hear our concerns about 522. So we'll just keep beating that band and hoping. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. The
Thank
parade
you.
Was great and all. Echo.
Thank you, Councilmember Scarborough. Councilmember Hanford.
Just a thought. The next time an official wants to come out to Monroe, have him come out about 4 o'clock.
Yeah. We said the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that he did say is that his son or his children
go skiing
at Stevens Pass, and they have to commute there, so he hears it from his kids.
I hope they're both.
Which I recognize is different than our residents that experience it every single day.
He hears it from his kids and his wife. He's probably gotten more earful than he's going to get here.
All right. Anything further? All right. With all of that done, we are now going to just relocate down there. So without objection, the way that the agenda was put together this evening is to move the discussion items below executive session. We don't have a need for an executive session this evening. So if there is an objection, we'll just go ahead and reconvene down there in about a minute or two. Sound good?
Perfect.
Okay. So we are sitting in a different format, most jurisdictions, so we're going to go ahead and so most jurisdictions have what's called a study session, essentially the idea being that we all sit down at a table, staff comes up, the way that you communicate in this format is by simply asking questions of the staff member. So while I am here to facilitate, what we're going to try to do is, as a staff member gives a presentation, the staff member will go ahead and acknowledge and answer your questions. The idea here is that while this is a regular meeting, we have the ability to take action in a study session. Normally, we would not, actually by its definition, don't take action. The whole point here is that have a conversation and for us to get an idea of what your thoughts and concerns are about a particular and then for me to get an idea of what the consensus is and provide direction to staff on changes to legislation, budgets, and things like that. So with that said, we don't have anything else?
I won't.
Cool. So we're going to go ahead and I will invite. Is that you got the first one?
I got the first two.
And I'm going to read them and if you go up there just for tracking on the recording. So this is 817-941. First discussion item, this is real estate brokerage contract.
Thank you. So you currently have a contract with Newmarket Grubb, Knight, and Frank to market and sell the North Hills properties. And that contract actually expired on September 9th of 2017. You've actually done 6 extensions to that contract, and so looking forward to speaking. Agenda packet materials, what the proposed scope of work would be if you wanted to go out for another broker, and then there are some alternatives on the second page. There's actually 3 alternatives. So the first one is go ahead and do a 7th extension with the broker and continue to allow First Western to market property if there's no broker in this case. Your second option is to use the request for proposal process to seek a new broker. So originally, you selected the First Western back in 2006, and you did that through an RFP process. So that is another option for you to go back out for a request for proposal and seek brokers to come in and market the property. The other option is to actually just shortlist several firms, and the benefit of shortlisting is you can go onto the municipal research website, and you can use their consultant contractor list. Essentially, select several brokers that are familiar with the Monroe area, maybe doing business. I know, for example, that there are several Kidder Matthew brokers that work in this area. I've also worked with brokers from Windsor when I was in Sandwood, and it's developed relationships with. So you have an option shortlisted, so just going after your proposal process. And then the third option is just simply do nothing. So you could just let the contract expire. Do be aware, though, that we have received a letter of interest from a from a potential purchaser, and we're currently reviewing that letter of interest, and so we'll be back in front of you at your next meeting with an executive session to talk about pricing. That being said, because that letter of interest came in with the existing brokers, which anything that they had currently been working on would go back to the current brokers. So I think that's outlined under item number four to nothing. And that's section 5 of the protection agreement. And so it did include in the package kind of two items. One is the extension, one is the original agreement, so you can see what that looks like. And then also a firm copy of the marketing materials that are out there on First Western's website. It did note that First Western's website is organized by sales price, and because there's a zero sales price noted on this one, it's actually at the very, very bottom of the list. Actually have to scroll through 6 or 7 pages online in order to see that. So I have contacted the brokers and asked them previously if they've come up with some pricing, and we can talk about that at last meeting. So just to let you know, that's kind of where we're at with our brokers. So looking, as the mayor said, for direction from council as to what your preferred alternative is, so we can get some direction from you on the cover.
Yep,
we'll
go ahead.
Yes,
So I know when they were here presenting, it seemed like we gave direction to this crisis, no?
Yes, we did. And so I'm still waiting for them to provide that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I look at the options, the do nothing really, if you're looking for direction, the do nothing really doesn't. I don't think that's an option we should look at. If you want to market this property, if you want to move on. And I was talking about when we interviewed the first time, and I guess I've been on the extension, and when we interviewed the first time, we really chose the broker, and was trying to find what the fit was for the city and what we were looking for. So I don't have the mind looking at being efficient is doing a short list and getting out there and getting a list of experienced brokers and coming back like that.
Back and find somebody that would be a good fit, which was, I think, the original intent.
well, and as well. I agree with that. That might be a way of moving quicker and putting it out for advertising. I'd really like to see it. It's been a while since we sold something. I'd like to see some more action. Take me more money. Right. If you, we can find people that are interested and they know that they're going to be here, that seems to be a lot more sense.
The answer, you asked my first question. So, with the short list here, essentially you have how many realtors
involved? Hopefully we can select one, but my proposal to short list would be to have at least three or four different commercial brokers submit proposals to the city as to how they would market, and then present those, you know, to the council with the preferred alternative.
Okay, I'm sure it was like some sort of pool. Sales,
yeah.
Competition or something. Now, would we have a new statement of work out of this, or go with the existing statement?
So, I actually produced a new statement of work, and that's the statement of work that outlines in your agenda materials, for example, proposed scope of work. So, there are other items.
Starting on page.
So, starting on page, the discussion item number one, and it's the bottom of the page number.
Again, with a little bit of formality of the reporting, we're now going to move on to discussion item number two. This is the
KB17-142, discussion economic development approaches.
Thank you. So what we're looking for here is direction and discussion around economic development priorities for the coming year in 2018, and then having some of those economic priorities actually look over into 2019 as well. So I think the overall intent is, as I understand it, is really to try and raise the profile of economic development within the city. And the primary proposal really involves having the city administrator and the mayor be the primary point of contact for economic development, and that's part of the process of trying to raise the profile of who is economic development. That being said, economic development really is a team effort, and it's not just the mayor and the city administrator who do economic development, it's really the entire organization. And so that includes all of our department directors, community development, public works, parks, and finance. And although this presentation and agenda bill has my name on it, it really was a team effort from everybody. I put together the framework, and then department directors got together in my absence, and actually really did a great job at flushing it out. So I want to give recognition that it's something that's already taking place, which is an economic development team. Other partners that we want to recognize and make sure and include in our economic development effort is really the Chamber, the Downtown Monroe Association, the schools, and the not-for-profit agency. So again, economic development is not just the city of Monroe, it involves the entire community. And what we're trying to do with this proposed approach is really getting everybody to row in the same direction, right? Because we have to sell the sizzle, not the steak. I mean, that's, you know, what I learned a while back when you're trying to market your community. It's about the sizzle that you create, and that sizzle really is everybody's job. We do have, and I want to recognize, a very robust, diverse, and thriving business community. So that already exists for us. And in some respects, it's a lot more than what I've been able to work with in the other communities that I've served. So you're already starting with a really great base. And I think what's been needed really is to focus all of our resources towards some really specific objectives. Right? I mean, that's what I think we need, is to really figure out what it is we want to do and where are we going to get the biggest bang for our buck. So what you see in front of you on this agenda bill is really organized around those six themes that are already in your comprehensive plan. So this is not intended to create really anything new because, as I said, the framework that you have in place is really solid. And so when you look down that list of six budget themes, or six, not budget themes, economic development themes, that's where we're trying to focus our effort, is around those six themes. So are there any questions about those themes or where they came from? That's straight out of your comprehensive plan, straight out of the economic development.
No question, but you stated that there wasn't, there's nothing like new, if I understand what you were saying. But what your material is forming with the economic development team, right? Are you just saying it's going to formalize it because you're already meeting, or all these different people are meeting, and now we're going to bring them together to meet?
Yeah, so let me talk just a little bit about that. So, The city has completed a number of economic development initiatives. And those, again, are listed, you know, on the first page of this agenda bill, and you can see kind of a long list of things that have been accomplished. When I read through, though, the economic development plan and the downtown master plan, what both of those plans identified was, here's a list of initiatives, but none of them have really been prioritized. And so that's one of the things I think that we really need to get back from the Economic Advisory Board is to prioritize those. So what are the things that the community, the business community feels that we need to be doing in the first year, in the second and third years, you know, by the fifth through seventh years? I think that again is what's needed when I talk about focus, right? So what is it that we need to do fundamentally at the Brooks that's going to kind of grow that economic development effort over time? So I think that's one of the things. I really identified kind of two, a two-pronged approach to economic development. So there's two pieces. One is tourism, promotion, and marketing, right? Which this community has just done an outstanding job, you know, with Mike Farrell and his team really bringing in those outside events and bringing in visitors, right? I mean, one thing that I think Monroe does very, very well is you become the hub for provision, lodging, and entertainment. You're like base camp, right? I mean, when you think about what it is that you have to offer when it comes to tourism, promotion, and marketing, it's the place that everybody comes back to at the end of the beginning of the day. So people are going to go out there and do their thing around the community, but at the end of the day, we want them back here, and we want them back here for provision, lodging, and entertainment. So either you start here, and you go out and come back, or you know, come here, and then you go back home, because you're here for our events, right? And want you to be here. So I think trying to figure out how to work with our partners in the Sky Valley to leverage the work that we're already doing here to get our message out to a broader audience. So we need to stop, or I shouldn't say we need to stop, we need to expand the message. But I think we're doing a great job at marketing, you know, in this little region. But the work that I was able to do in my previous communities was to get that message out to the Canadian, from the Canadian border all the way down to Olympia. And I think that's what this community needs as well. But we can't do it alone, right? We're going to need to bring in, again, the surrounding cities and the surrounding communities and our various partners, nonprofit and public. So does that make sense from a tourism promotion and marketing piece? So what the proposal is then to take the existing resources that we already have and that are already going towards these efforts and just broaden that a little bit. So trying to expand that. And that's what we'll be working on really hard in the next year, because we're going to have to build those partnerships first in order to make that work. So any questions about that, please? And I'll go on and talk about the second problem.
Several of the things that we have right now, see some problems with it. When we talk about walking, we talked about having a path from the river up to downtown to do things. Maybe flowing the river to come up and do things. That's a long walk. I don't know how to address fixing that. But you know, we've got another sign down there, how to get downtown, what's downtown, things like that. I think that's a good idea. The other thing talk some about our hotels, the lack of hotels that we have, and current, not too long ago, I had family members from Southern California visiting there. Their hotel selection was really limited. Availability and hotels. So I don't know what we're doing to address that. And when we talk about walking also, I'm surprised that the community hasn't talked about connecting this side of the tracks, that side of the tracks, Highway 2, probably the word overpass hasn't come. I don't like the word, I don't know, certainly I don't think we can afford it, but I can't understand why it might not be advantageous to have something so people can get from this side of the tracks to pull downtown to the new stuff on Highway 2.
Customer service, can I clarify? Are you talking about a pedestrian overpass?
I would get at the minimum, but then I would also say at that point, we're talking about building an overpass, maybe we need
vehicular
instead of building a bridge. And when I had asked some time ago about our availability and possibility of a transit station, if we wanted to pursue the Amtrak to come through, it used to stop here. It used to have a train station. We're talking about the property where the hotel used to be, what we're going to do with it, sell it. Would be advantageous to look at having our own train station. And in the thoughts, if that's a lot of money, share that facility and offer the post office a new building. We'll have
half of it to train station, half of it to post office. Our post office is pretty old and kind of outdated. Those are things you might look at for a future.
And I think that a number of those ideas are included in the existing plans, and so I think that's the importance of the Economic Advisory Board, is to help go through that and prioritize those things from a community perspective, so that I think there should be working on it.
Well, I like your business people as well, because
they're
the ones that we're trying to make a place to come and have a tourist attraction. Yeah.
I know several of those are existing some of the discussions we've had, because I know the even in the Blueberry Lane discussions that we've had, we talked about overpasses and that really is a true way to actually fix that. And we have talked about both Lewis and Kelsey, both of those streets having overpasses over. And what that would take, obviously, massive amounts of capital, but maybe that's something for the next one, because I know that was what was held up in the SALT budget. It was actually SALT's budget, was the pedestrian overpass. It was dollars that had associated to a pedestrian overpass. So that's what I liked the most when I read the packet around the Economic Development Advisory Board, was getting that voice, getting some sort of prioritization from different entities within the community. I will tell you that I have been approached on numerous occasions from business owners that are in Monroe, but they don't live in Monroe, so they don't have the ability to vote, and they don't feel like they have a voice. And I know that if we have them represent or have the ability, whether it's an advisory board position or whatever, just having that forum for them to be able to participate in would be welcome. I like that component of the plan. It would give us, because we've got a laundry list of stuff. I think every one of us has put, we should do this or we should do that. But really getting a consensus around what should the priority be. Yeah.
May I ask further, do we have to think that it's always a dollar figure from the citizens tax of the girl, or are there grants and pushes?
Sure. I mean, that's the reference to the capital.
Okay, that kind
of stuff. Yeah, that's the reference to the capital grant for the pedestrian overpass in Sultan. Same thing with our Lake Tide. Capital investment.
Capital investment. So we're still on the first problem.
Right. So that's tourism promotion and marketing, and then the second phase is and that really works back into the Formula Economic Development Advisory Board. So one of the things that we've been doing just in the short time that I've been here is starting to reach out, for example, to the commercial realtors that have properties listed for sale, and contacting them and meeting with them and their building owners. So we want to have that kind of face-to-face relationship and continue to build those so we can make connections with them. Oftentimes there are business owners that are looking for buildings, but those realtors don't realize it just because they're more local as opposed to more regional. So just kind of a sample of the things that we're doing in order to reach out. There is a list, and starting in your agenda packet, and you have a hard copy in front of you, starting on page 3 of 5 at the bottom there, it says 2018 Economic Development Initiative. And these initiatives are organized around those 6 themes that came out of the economic development element. And these are specific things that we are proposing to work on in 2018 and potentially moving on to 2019. But recognize that this is just a work plan that is going to be running concurrent with that economic development advisory board. And their work is finished in the spring. The idea is then to bring those items back to you, so you can help us prioritize what's going to go into the 2019 budget. Because it doesn't do us any good in order to finish up a plan or priority list if you don't have a budget in place to help fund it. So just to kind of clarify then the timeline around which we're talking. So the intent of the Economic Advisory Board is to have meetings, probably just once a month. They'll be very structured, so people know coming in that they're not going to be necessarily giving away their life, you know, for another year or so, and that we're very clear about what action items are coming out of each meeting, because it's my experience that business owners don't like sitting in meetings if there's no outcome, there's no deliverable at the end of each meeting, so we want to be really mindful of their time. So what we have in front of you is the proposal. There are some numbers associated with those, and those are going to be a part of the mayor's recommended budget. Available to answer any questions about any specific items that you have.
A couple things. So I love the idea of prioritizing, because I agree with Councilmember Campbell. We have a lot of things we've been kind of looking at and working at. What I like is the transportation plan where we prioritize. So something similar to that, I see where we have a list of things we prioritize, and then we have a funding source and a timeline. So that's what I perceive something like that with economic development. So we might even still have 15 things on the list, but they are very specific label, project, timeline, budget, and then in the order of priorities.
Okay. Right. And I think the other thing that will be a part of that too is have partners, what's the partner's responsibility?
Completely
right. Yeah, because we are providing funding for both the chamber and for the Downtown Monroe Association, and both of those recipients, we need to have three deliverables. So I think it will help us identify what those deliverables are.
Yeah, that's a great comment. Just, you know, also who's involved and partners involved. So I really like that. Question about the business recruitment and retention, because I think that's key, I think, obviously, a thriving business. Before I came on council, the city did a study kind of looking at what the gaps were in the community, and that was ages ago, and the thing that came up was apparel and stuff and things like that. And I think what we're lacking is being really strategic and targeting kind of industry assistance, maybe, that we know we don't have, or we mentioned hotels. Is there another group of business that we are not providing here that we know would be successful, that we're actually targeting? I know that the previous mayor, Mayor Walzer, was actually trying to get Cabela's out here. The one that didn't go through was very targeted, specific. We know we do well here, it's missing out here. So I don't know if we have any strategy around, are we, you know, setting our sights on something we know is missing in this community and have a plan to reach out to that. So that's one comment. And then the other one is just, we want to talk commercial brokers, but we also want to talk to industrial brokers. Two different things. So, I mean, they might all say commercial, but an industrial broker is going to focus on industry, you know, manufacturing that can help with the Freightlands or any Boeing wants to come out here or something. You know, they're going to be able to help with that, which is a different real estate contractor. Concerns and commercial retail. And the last piece is I'm totally in favor of having an advisory group and getting the business community involved. I think it's key. We want them to be part of the solution and to give advice. One thing I know that I've learned through the years to be careful of is there might be business owners who do get on who are, you know, territorial about what they provide for the community and might not want to a discussion about allowing a certain business in. So I just think that's something to be aware of. That's what I know it happened a little bit with the discussions around Walmart and you know, how it's going to affect my business. So that's just something I think as a city we need to be aware of when we should always involve in this and get their opinion and invite them in, but also just be aware that we want to kind of have doors open, you know, not put a limit on maybe a competing business coming in.
Do you want to go around before we interact?
That would be handy if we were okay with Mr. Rafferty. That's fine. I like the increase in the ribbon cutting event and things like that. I think that's a great way to get the word out and practical and yet. Just
haven't happened. So. I should be done pretty good, to be honest with you.
something we're initiating at the staff level to ensure that department directors are available.
Yeah.
We have a whole team of people that come out, so we can put a face to a name and give that appearance that we have open door and everybody's participating.
Okay, so if I could get you back on that, we did that after I mentioned that for the mayor's report out. We were sort of recruiting for a new business line that our Walmart here started back on Thursday, and we had both our public works director and community development director, our city administrator, we've been also. But yeah, the whole point being is we want to have our team there to demonstrate that they're supportive of whatever the business is that's going to be done. Yeah. All right.
You just want another gold shovel?
No, I didn't even know. I mean,
you don't grab a gold shovel.
That was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
No, I thought you were at the park.
That was just a couple months ago. Yeah. I know, it just seems like there's lots of opportunity to increase that. I'm not saying we've done a horrible job, I'm just saying I like that because the more you do it, the more people see and monitor. Oh, Sharonda Beans is on Main Street. Well, let's go check it out.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that, as you all know, I've engaged our business community, and one of the things that I realized in meeting with the Chamber Board on a regular basis in my first year was that I kept hearing how businesses talk about how there was a lack of parking, things seemed dirty, things seemed noisy. And as far as if you're in a park downtown, you want to walk to go to a restaurant or something. What occurred to me was when I was thinking about Alderwood Mall. I never hear Alderwood Mall, the shops in Alderwood Mall, talking about how on Christmas Eve, December 24th, you're going to be out there, you're going to park very, very far away, walk perhaps a half mile from Worthing Park, all the way through the darkness and the rain and the wind to get to the store you want to go to and walk back. You focus on the positive. You don't ignore the negative. You've got to address the negative and everything and find a way to improve conditions. But where I'm going with this is that I think it's important for us to as Deborah, as Ms. Knight pointed out, to realize the positive things we have and to celebrate those great things, those great achievements, which the ribbon cuttings, the shovel turns, and things like that. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating this community. You know, we're indicating positive things we have going on here. Again, we don't run away from the things where we need to make improvements, but we're celebrating what's positive. And we're reinforcing just that all over the great shopping experience you're going to have. Yes, you're going to be walking through the cold in the dark for some distance to go get your things on Christmas Eve because you plan ahead. But that's sort of the idea. You know, getting all the paddles, getting all the orders going in the same direction, and attracting businesses here.
I don't know where we're at, so
I think Councilmember Davis.
The sidewalks.
Yes.
No, I think you make a good point there. You want to advise you on advice, but you don't want to be careful. But I like the term that they let it up, so I can look at it more down. I like where that fire is. That's important. That's probably the key. We need that locked in. I think we need a big step. I have a few concerns, but in general, this is a good stopgap. And it's a lot better than what we've had in the past. Having an advisory board, I mean, some of the people, or some of the organizations that have listed on this, have been involved in economic development the last 4 years, and we've had issues. I think, like I said, this is going to be the first step. I'm concerned about the market, if I understand correctly. The city administrator will be the market, essentially. That would be on page 3 to 5. Assign the city administrator to act as the downtown development expedite or ambassador, I assume. In addition to your current job and other duties at this time, you're going to be marketing the city as well.
I think the intent there is that if you looked at the economic development report, mm-hmm. one of the proposals was to have somebody who can ensure that if there are business owners in the downtown looking to come into the community, that they have a name and it doesn't mean that I'm going to be doing everything that the community development director, the public works director, finance director, we all have a role to play, particularly in Ben's department, where once we know that people are interested in coming in or reaching out to them and bringing them in, you know, it's really the thing. I think that's the key.
And that's the problem I've heard from business owners. The hands off occurs if it's turned over to someone at City Hall and that works.
Always say hands off.
Let me rephrase that. The time of the handoff is put in somebody else's new basket and it happens.
Right, and I think that goes back down then to the way that it's defined here, which is expediter and adapter. So
okay.
I think part of the role that I have is to ensure that we keep on top of it and get back to people. I haven't seen that happen yet.
In addition to city administration, in addition to other duties as assigned, I'm just concerned that there are people.
I have done this type of work in the past and haven't felt overwhelmed, in part because we have such a strong management team. I don't need to be running nervous on the day-to-day. What I need to be doing is hearing from them, you know, how are things moving along. My job, I think, overall is to figure out where the gaps in your organization and trying to figure out how my talents kind of fit within those gaps. And hopefully we'll have that.
Right, and like I said, he's what we currently have. He's what we have in recent past. So I think it's a good first step. I can see some changes. I'd like to see in the future, but
yeah, and I do appreciate your comment though about overextending. And I do think if there is a point in time at which it feels like there's enough activity that's going on that warrants somebody to come in and do actual economic development, I'm going to be the first person to come to you. But I'm the first person to support that because certainly there are professionals that are out there that do this for a full-time job.
Exactly.
And they are, I think, better qualified and have more experience. And I plan to draw on those folks when I can at this point. But I think where we're at right now is probably the best approach and the best use for taxpayers' dollars.
I think that's a good start. Where were you from before? Sorry, previously.
So, where are you from? The city of Stanwood?
Stanwood. How big is Stanwood?
So, Stanwood is 6,500 people.
6,500?
Yes, and I'll be the first person that will tell you. I think most of the experience that I have, because I think you and I had this conversation in the parking lot. Right, where I said, look, you know, I have a reputation, I think, for being able to do economic development, but most of my experience really has been around tourism promotion and marketing.
And I'm not slighting any of your accomplishments or anything you've done, but I look at Snohomish, who has an economic development manager, I look at Linwood, that has an economic development manager, I look at Marion, who has an economic development manager, and we don't.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
That's the point that I want to make. I'm more than willing to take these steps. I think it's a good first step, but I think we're going to have to make some changes in the near future if we want to continue.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, when we're sitting here this time next year, or hopefully even earlier in the year, you know, we can have a better understanding about exactly where the city is at in the economic development arc, right? And,
exactly.
You know, where we might need to start from here.
Just one thing, I might address the question about things we need to get into the city and then, you know, have fade away or something.
I'm not pointing at and remember, this is as I'm speaking to business people, and it's their perception. I'm not saying you guys take stuff in and you put it on the back shelf.
No.
Or that. And I've been involved in retail work. I took a part-time job in Harbor Freight so I could learn more about retail. And I watched as they built that store. So I saw their interaction with the city, and they didn't know who I was. So I heard every story about every interaction between the city of Monroe and Harbor Freight. And I give you guys name lines. There was only one incident that they complained about, really. And in my head, it's relatively minor. You guys did a great job now. But that's why I want to make sure that this is the perception I'm giving when I'm talking to people. And I'm not saying that you're doing it.
One thing that I wanted to let you know of what we're doing with this, you know, when a business does come to town now, is we're taking more of a proactive role where Mike Fitzgerald, who's the fire marshal, is sitting behind me, we're actually going out to those businesses. Like where they have questions, because that's the big thing when, you know, people want sure they're really developing a body or opening a business, they don't want to come in and get blindsided by $50,000 worth of fees or why do you have to replace this entire, you know, system in your book?
And that's, you know, I saw that when I was working those 12-hour days, doing everything at Harbor Freight, watching how the interaction between fire department, I watched the guys come in and do the inspections. All of us out moving material up to the top shelf. You know how heavy those lathes are? Anyway, so I was watching all that, and watching the inspectors when they came in. And like I said, guys did a really good job. I was really impressed with it. They had a couple of things that they were talking about, which in my head I can see how it impacted business, but it wasn't the $50,000 in adjustments. It wasn't the, we have to move this piping because the fire department says we have to move it. It worked out really well. So that's what I'm saying. I would work on, you know, the perception I'm getting from some of the business people, and it's not everybody.
No.
You know, but they just feel like it just goes to the city hall and it just kind of goes, you know, and that's all. That's all I want.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're all.
I think that last comment kind of goes with the concerns that were brought up. Sometimes, you know, you have the feedback is given, and people like, should you act on immediately? And if it's not act on immediately, that's perception of being. So by creating a forum where you could formalize that feedback, I think that's a really good way to kind of accommodate that. And the thing that I like the best about this is that I was thinking about it, structuring it this way kind of reflects the way that we build the comprehensive plan. If you think of the way that we build the comprehensive plan and all the workshops that I know all of us participated in, there was representation across the board, as we sat there and we said, you know, we want to get six really good themes in place that we're going to go after and we're going to focus on. And we kind of have that cross-functional representation as working together type, which is very more cohesive. And we actually, you know, we brought in a, who was our third party, who was it?
Studio Cascade,
yeah, the one that, that facilitated the meetings. The consultant group, yeah, sorry.
Was it Studio Cascade?
And I think that was probably the Studio Cascade.
Yeah.
That, you know, really kind of guided us through and facilitated those meetings, that, you know, we could kind of create an operating rhythm and an execution around the plan that was created that way, kind of going forward. I think it's going to be great.
So I'm hearing okay with the economic advisory board. You have one more thing? Yes.
But just go back to the committee, I think what would help is really having either job description or very clear expectations. So the committee, when we're recruiting or you're recruiting or we're recruiting for that spot, we just lay out that it is, you know, what purpose it's for, what kind of hat we recommend to wear and all of that, and have that in front of the recruiter. I think that will help them to know that they're representing a business community, not their personal maybe agenda or interests, which I think would be helpful. And then to go back to the ribbon cutting, I think those are really important. I think we do a good job. I think we can always do more. I don't know about the city. When the new business opens, do we have like, okay, now you have your grand opening kit, and this is what you can expect. We'll list you on our city website for a month. We'll send a link. We'll, for this additional cost, we can do this, or, you know, we'll come out and do a full ribbon cutting. Like, have a menu of here's your new business packet for the city of Monroe. It includes this is what you can ask for. Now, some businesses might say, I don't want that, but hey, we're happy to come out and do a ribbon cutting to provide for you as a new business. Welcome. You know, we'll invite the paper. You know, whatever we do, it could be just a little menu. So.
We're going to talk about on the staff level again.
So this is kind of a smattering of the different types of people that we were thinking. It's also important for you to say that the Planning Commission, you've got Planning Commissioners, they don't serve a particular industry. They all serve the community as a whole. So one of the things that we were talking about was making certain that the group of folks are understanding their approaches from a community basis, not from just strictly their one industry. So while they're representing the industry, they're also taking a community approach to it so that they're not just, all the time small business.
These are business related. What I was thinking is they would need to be more focused on the business aspect. We have the Planning Commission, the community portion of any proposal or whatever they need. I would like to know from the business person how this directly affects their business. More so than, and again, the bad example I think of is the business that wants to come in, which would seriously deteriorate the something, have spotlights shining in people's homes, things like that. Would probably be great for businesses, but would probably not work well with the community. That's why I'm thinking if they're going, I assume they're going to be advising the council, and I would also be advising the Planning Commission, since the Planning Commission has a broader scope. And that's why I was thinking this type of economic development would be more isolated than the business portion of it.
Okay, so what kind of are you talking about just business?
Well, if you're going to do economic development, essentially it's business. So they would be advising the Planning Commission and the council as the business perspective on what they're going to address.
So,
is that different than how you're proposing
this? I'm trying to get clarification. So of the sort of industry groups that I was talking about, they're all business.
Right.
Is there a group that you remove from the list?
No.
Okay.
No. I just, it's not that you start talking about a community issue.
No.
Having to look at it from a perspective not only of business but also community, and I keep thinking that's more like Planning Commission.
I think what he's trying to say is that it would be clearly defined to try to guard against all of your concerns in many ways as well. It wouldn't just be you're coming in just to espouse or personal.
Right.
That's what I mean. When I say a community approach, what I'm talking about is I'm looking for people with the
business perspective, not just their own.
Okay, yeah, and that's fine. I thought, like I said, the Planning Commission is more community-based oriented in terms of looking at everything.
We're not creating another Planning Commission. The whole point is to be a group of people that are going to focus on economic development, how we maximize what we have today. And we want to get the right talent in the room. If we have only realtors in the room, we're going to get one out of them.
Of course.
And if all we have is manufacturing, then we're going to have another out of them. So,
copy vendors, we don't need that. Copy the kiosk vendor.
So that is what we're looking at doing. Is we're trying to have a mix of different private industries. Does anybody else have any pipeline? Councilmembers okay with sort of the plan here? All right. So we will go ahead and proceed with working in that direction. Next item we have on the agenda is discussion item number 3. This is AB 17-143, discussion fireworks, regulations, and enforcement.
Is this something you said?
Oh, no.
Just because you see staff members saying, what we're doing is this is a linear item that it's something related to you is found in the discussion people can get out of the because you don't have the department reports.
Nice.
I'm trying to get back to the council. Fireworks. Very short history is a couple of years ago, you brought in to reduce the time that fireworks could be sold in the city of Monroe. And currently, we have the statistics for the police department for 16 and 17 is during the two is that the fireworks complaints From snowpack for the police department will be reduced by 38% in 2017.
Sorry, come down.
38%.
Thank you.
Yes. Compared to 2016. The fire department has statistics too that I'm sure Cheryl, you want to have to discuss with you on it. And it's your discussion.
I meant to be a resource to staff and council, and to start anecdotally, but actually statistically, the tent fires this fire was 200 days. It's a city limits, which is the prior year we just had two fires inside the city limits, but the year before that we had nine. So not a huge difference statistically from what we've seen in the previous year.
The year before that was the super dry period, there was only two. So that would make sense. Yeah.
But I think that the super dry period was in 2013, and that's when we had nine. That was when the council had concerns about should we have the ability to enact an outright ban immediately before the 4th of July on this chart.
I'll start. I don't think that we need to do anything with this. We've talked about this multiple times over the past. The statistics show that there hasn't been an increase, and in fact, there's a decrease in our calls, and I don't think it's anything that we need to worry about. We've talked about this multiple times over the last several years.
Marysville this year has had
had a complete ban, and I believe it was over 200% increase in their calls. That increase, and their 200% is going from probably around 50 to 60 calls to 200 or some calls because there's a ban.
So, what's the July party you're out next year?
I'm just distracted.
That's all you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I am in the minority here. It's funny. Somehow in our community or in our society, we have figured out that in order to be a patriot, you know, you have to want to light a firework off. And I don't feel it's like the freedom that everybody should have is to be able to light off a firework on the 4th of July. I think there's other ways to celebrate our nation first that don't attribute to 10 fires or injuries or police calls or all of that. So it's interesting because I agree it would be a full year away, 2019, and I don't know what the answer is, to be honest. But up in my neighborhood in the farm this past year, it was, I mean, all my neighbors, it was out of control. There was two fires up there. Police were up there numerous times, so I saw police cars go by at least three times.
Three
fires. So one behind my house, one down the road. EMTs were called. I don't think it was a serious injury, but EMTs were called. And so what I understand, the calls went down 38%, and probably because we shortened the time of sales, maybe, and we don't know that's why, but it would seem that might be to make that assumption. I had a lot of residents up there who were like, I'm done with this, I'm ready now for a change. And so, I'm not sure what that looks like or what it is, but, we had a house burned down, 2 years ago, a year ago? The Miller?
Three.
I mean, that house burned down to fireworks. So you go, oh, well, it's not too bad. Well, for that family, obviously, it was really bad. I'm more of the mind of, I think there's real value in having a big community event where the whole community goes and gathers and watch, fireworks go off that are organized and handled by, people who know how to do it in a safe and a community event versus, things happening in different neighborhoods throughout the community that are just unsupervised. Also, we have no idea what people are buying. 10 fires too many for me. So I think something does need to be done. I'm not saying all that out right now. I don't know yet, but I would love to get some more community feedback. Because I think there's a lot of frustrated people out there who might not say anything, but who might be under the breath, especially need their homes, and then ask their neighbors to watch it and have hoses out, animals upset. I mean, I heard all of these comments from numerous people. And they might not be here telling you or come to council and complain, but maybe they would if we spent a little bit more time or had a public hearing. I'm not sure. So I don't have an answer today, but I do think 10 fires in our community on one night is too many. And it's fortunate maybe there wasn't more serious incidents than what we had 3 years ago, a family home burning down due to fireworks. I mean, it's too many. So I think it's become, if I was here 14 years, it seems like it's increased with the amount.
I'd be interested if, because you said maybe we'll go past the van and all that. Do we have their fire? How many fires do they have?
I'd be happy to get it for you.
But that would be something.
I'm all, that's kind of what I was trying to say at the beginning. 10 fires is too many. I mean, it's all, I'm just trying to look at it from a practical perspective. If we know if we ban it based off of the other cities around us, that it's still going to happen. Is it worth taking that away and taking the ability for these organizations to earn money that comes right back here? Right? What do we gain? I guess is what I'm saying. Because if we go and we look at these other cities and they're still having 10, 15 fires or whatever, which is too many. I'm one of those. I'm not here on the fourth. I didn't even ask the neighbors to
watch
my house. I've got cameras set up and I go watch professionals play. I've been
lit a firework off, I don't get it. It's like lighting a $20 bill on fire. So every time I see somebody do it, I like to watch, you know, over on the other side of the mountains, the professionals do it, and we have a great time. But at the same time, I know for others, and a lot of them are friends of mine in this community, that's their day. They look forward to it all year long, they plan for it all year long, they take it serious. It's, and I just, I give it, because it is too many partners, but I'm just trying to weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah, and I get the practical aspect, but I've never heard one who said, well, the right thing to do, but I'm not going to do it because, you know, it's not practical, or people are still going to do it. So for me, if changing or having an ordinance or changing our policy is the right thing to do and we want to prevent fires, then we have to figure out a way to enforce it. Because I think it rises to that level of seriousness. And I know enforcement isn't hard on parking. I mean, it's hard on all those things. And I see this as a notch up versus, you know, trying to enforce the parking downtown. So I think we just have to problem solve and see and involve the community, involve people who will support changing it. And I don't think it's going to be perfect the first year. And I think there's
but I think over time, if we did do something that was the
right thing to do and supported it, you know, over time,
it
would, you know, hold each other accountable.
So. Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just because you make the point of having a professional display. That's an attractant, essentially. And like you, you know, I picture a pile of money in the street whenever I see it. It's hard to put on. So, rather than a blanket ban, I don't, and this would be a discussion for tonight, but thoughts about the city of Monroe or finding a sponsor of some big fireworks display and see if that has any in the future, just for future discussion. I agree with your points about the fires. I'm sorry.
There already is a public.
The race.
Yeah, but it's at the racetrack. You get into the racetrack to see the fireworks.
I go every year and sit out in the parking lot and walk about the
city. Well, I was thinking like something at late time, which would be real cool. But just as a possibility, like I said, it would be a discussion for another night. But I understand your thoughts, just from personal experience. Building my own fireworks on a blizz band in Washington State. I have nothing but sympathy for the police to try to track down something like that.
I think it would be key, as you mentioned, to if we were ever to do anything with limited people's ability to light up their own fireworks, that we had an alternative. And so that would be a key thing for the band, where we're doing a band and we're inviting you all to come here to this community event to do this. And if you want to make donations instead of spending your own. And I think charities will find other ways to make money. You know, I'm one who's again selling Rockstar and his vending machines at the school district, and they say, well, that's what kids want, so buy the money, but it's not the right thing to do. Just we'll get money from getting Rockstar, you know, sold to kids. That's not okay. You know, I'd rather not have money. So, I think it would be important to have an alternative, as you mentioned, in place to. Don't have this, here we have this.
I think about 2 months ago, a woman came here and asked us why a person had a block party and blocked off the whole street to have a fireworks party. And her bigger concern in the fireworks party was the fact that this person didn't have to clean up. And then that person berated that woman because she must not be a patriot because she won't believe in fireworks on the 4th of July. Well, I'm trying to with that gal. And I'm real deep into this camp over here, and I'm sympathetic for the camp that says, hey, old man, who's a I can't have a beer. I don't wash. We don't want to do that, but I have a concern that we're giving people a permit to block off the whole block, and they're going to have a firework. You know, I'm not for it. I just think that's the wrong picture. I'm not going to stop them from putting out fireworks, but we're still taking it by giving them a whole block to do it, and because if they do that, maybe we ought to relook at that. And maybe if they get a block, we go out and say, clean up your mess, not move you out with the sweeper to take care of it.
I was just saying, the blocks that have closed down near my house, it only makes sense to block it off. You block it off for safety, so that while kids and adults and everybody are out in the streets lighting up fireworks, because that's where you light them off. You don't do it in your driveway or in the grass. You do it out there so that it's safe. And that way there's no worry about a car coming down and so on. So the blocks that I've seen blocked off, they've had signs out there days before saying, to be blocked off on these days. And I'm sure, I'm assuming, that they've all talked about it with every neighbor on that street. And because they're all out there on the 4th of July, like, everybody's out on the street from the block. So it's not like, in my mind, we're helping keep things safe by blocking off. Now, maybe there's some enforcement that needs to take place from Public Works or something, that when we tell them and give them the permit to block it off, we say, make sure that it's cleaned up the next, you know, by the next morning or the next day, and then, or something like that. But, you know, I think it's safer to do that.
Is there a fee for blocking off the street?
The permit?
It's like $200.
Yeah.
Has there a fee for
those go through parks?
They can go through parks.
Especially then.
So is there a cost for it?
There are for some of them, not for others.
So then it might go through really.
Well, we let Mike go through
really. Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and get a fee.
I think it's 200 bucks. We have our partner street blocked off, and blocked some people. The family's got to go, and I think it costs $200.
It does cost, yeah.
So essentially, they have an incentive to plan for it, and they do plan for it. And then, I don't know, the streets in our area were clean the next day. So, some sort of requirement out there.
It is in the municipal code that they are required to clean up. In addition to that, the special event requires a condition, carries a condition that they clean up after the property.
But you know, I just think that I get it, but really what we're getting down to is that what people like and don't like. Yeah. And we really are, and there's a safety component to it. I get it, and that's your argument. But there, you can make a safety component about creating a beer garden or whatever the case may be. So that's the piece that really, you know, I kind of struggle with, and that's why I'm kind of approaching from that, kind of the practical side of it. And you're getting down to, well, you know what, that I don't like that use. Because we use that blocking of the street. That's not, you know, it's not a fireworks permit. It's a, you know, maybe I can do that. You can have a, you know, cakewalk if you want to or something like that. But, so, you know, I mean, that's the piece.
It's not a fireworks permit.
Yeah.
It's a special event.
Yeah. But so, I think the bigger question is really just, Chief, what's the statute of limitation on the mission of the Guild of Legal Fireworks that Mr.
King really want to name that shit with a lot of bubbles.
He called me, I'm walking on the ramp up there.
So, Councilor, we have one more discussion after this time right now. It's 9 o'clock. So let's go ahead and pull this back on the direction of the staff. It sounds like you should have a public education component. Some number Gamble was talking about earlier for next year. It doesn't sound like there's an interest in bringing this back to consider a ban or any other regulatory changes at the time. It sounds like there's an interest in finding out what the cost is for closing the street.
always that we have information.
That's right.
And I thought there was some requests for data points.
Data points, sorry. So,
okay. Yeah, I'm always open. I think it's one of these things that should be continuing in conversation. It has been for 3 years. It's one of those things that we should, you know, other cities are, because a lot of what we're basing our opinion on is also with, we know that, you know, the trade, you know, the trade offs are there. So.
And what we don't know is that there's a silent majority out there who don't like the fireworks, but don't say anything. We know it would be an unpopular decision to do anything that's probably pretty vocal, but it might be a vocal few versus a silent majority. We don't know that. So that's some data that we'd be interested in finding out if there's any way to poll or do a, you know, we have this open line. I don't know about inviting them. Yeah. But yeah. So maybe if there's then do we ever do an open line comment where we send out emails to any email address and just say, you know, an occasion piece and just ask opinion and see what we get back or anything like that.
So what we'll do, is we'll pull together, we'll have an email sent to you, we'll summarize answers to some of these questions, including maybe a way that Councilmember Cutback's request different alternatives. And we will get that information to you in the, for the next week or so. And then if Councilmember would like to bring this back forward for further discussion, just let us know and we'll set that on the next time agenda. So we're going to move on to the next one. The next one we have on the agenda is discussion item number 4. This is AB 17-144, discussion of parking and cluster mailboxes. And this one would be just outright.
I'm sure this isn't I'm sure this is a very high priority item for the police department to handle.
But I think last time this was discussed, somebody wanted to know how much it would cost for the enforcement. I think we're getting at a priority to be fairly low, trying to figure out how much it would cost for three calls in 9 years is almost beyond calculation. So it would not be a huge priority unless it was repetitive.
Right, and that's
probably
what. And if it's painted red, you don't park there. When I see a red curb, I don't park there personally.
I see a blue button, sir. When you look back at every time this has come, right? You know, going and reading the packet and the third time since we've been on. Every time it's been basically, you talk to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right? Or made them aware, whether it's putting up a sign over by Cassie where they're at, or paint red. I mean, that's overkill. Just even putting over by you, they just put it on the box itself, right? And really, it's just making your neighbor aware, hey, that please don't have people park here. From, I like the 9-to-5 idea, I don't know if you do why you need, but what would be nice is to have maybe just a canned response so that when people, if it does become an issue and someone brings it up, hey, this is what we've seen work, just by notifying your neighbors, right? And maybe putting a couple signs on the outside, 9-to-5, whatever. But my concern is if we start going and painting the town red, as you're saying, knowing that we're not going to enforce it, it goes quite against what you were talking about earlier. I don't like the thought of painting the town red. I just don't like that. And I think it sends the wrong message.
Can we post something on the website?
No, I don't post anything.
Post something on the website. Don't park in front of the mailbox between 9 and 5, Monday through Saturday. Just like you said, talk to the neighbor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So one of the things we can do is go ahead and do what you just said. Just do a civil request. Please don't park in front of the mailboxes. The problem with 9-to-5, I saw on social media earlier today somebody that was expressing concern about the inability to get to the mailbox just to go get there. And so that was even a postal. That was somebody that just wanted to get them.
Great man.
Yeah. And so I don't park in front of mailbox clusters. And, I think that us just asking our neighbors, and we can do it in social media, and we can do it on the website, just to say, hey, please don't do this. I think paint a curb red, you're looking at having to pass a law, and you start setting expectations, which is the other side of it. And then everybody that comes and asks for it, we end up being it red. Why don't we try an educational push, just like we were talking about with fireworks, and see if we can move the needle a little bit on this issue.
Common sense prevails.
Yeah.
Because what I'll go back to is that we had a conversation around Blueberry Lane and putting the pork chop in and all that. It always came back to, yeah, but what about 10, 11 o'clock at night and there's no traffic at all, and I don't want to handle that. Well, it's the same thing. A lot of these communities are in these areas that we're talking about. If someone wants to have a bar mitzvah or a birthday, whatever the case would be, and they have people over and there's people there at 10 o'clock at night, really don't care if they're parking in front of the, that mailbox cluster. There's two cars so that they don't, grandma doesn't have to park, 1,800 feet away, 2 miles away to come see Johnny's birthday.
One way to look at this is we're kind of trying to solve the problem that the post office currently has. At one point in time, the mail used to come to your front door, and then it moved out to the street. And, I'm wondering if instead of putting mailboxes so that they point toward the street, the mailboxes were just put in there 90 degrees, if that would make a difference. There might be some design things that we talked to the post office about, so when subdivisions occur and whatnot, maybe there's a different orientation or something that they can do mailbox, that kind of stuff. But I think doing educational campaigns would work. Is everybody okay with doing that as a start?
Yes.
So we're from any of the person who came the last time up in the
apartment. That's right, next to my house.
Right. Yeah. He painted the curb red. Did we circle back around? I mean, because he said that is not what we want. We do not want residents just going out and painting the curb themselves. So we circle back around to that resident, or just the policy that we circle back around? That if we have a couple signs that it's not by code, it's not anything we're doing it as, and I hope that's allowed, that it's not promoting anything, but we have signs. If somebody does come in and like, we can say, here's a sign, post it on the site, and rather see if it works, let us know, and go from there. But at least then you're giving them something to try to solve instead of, just try to educate your neighbor. That's like, so.
Seems like some patient waste might be able to do too.
Exactly. Working through HOA, working through, resident complaints, here's a sign, see if it works. We do care that you're not getting your mail. I mean, we do want to care that people are not getting their mail. It is not just a post office problem. It is the resident who is feeling the best of that. They are not receiving their mail. It keeps bubbling up, so whatever we're doing hasn't worked. And again, we don't know how many times people are frustrated and upset that we don't hear about. Right?
So, this is true.
There might have been 9 calls or 3 calls. There might be a lot of that more times it happens, but people just aren't saying it. So that's all.
But the consistent thing has been every time they have some, or is they have not talked to the person. That's the part.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
I mean, this society, I'm going to get on a soapbox. This society, the answer is we write a law and call somebody as opposed to just going over to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm not getting our mail because you're parking in front of the mailbox. And every time we've done it, some sort of awareness campaign, boom, magically they disappear.
Alright, so we're going to go ahead and do an educational campaign. And are there any other questions or comments or good work? Alright, we usually do a motion to adjourn. Second from the Bradford and Company to adjourn. Any discussion on those to adjourn? See none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0.
Hello,
gentlemen. Great to hear you. We're on HD's. Get on.